Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Hey everybody, episode 258 of The Scope. Thank you, Jared. Good culture cast. Adam back in the house. Jared back in the house. Me, I'm always here. I never leave.
No, that's me. Oh. I live here.
But I'm actually here too. You just don't know it.
I guess that probably explains why my feet get tickled in the night. It's Shane.
Really, that's where you went with that.
I was trying. Look. It's an imperfect thing sometimes. Improv, you don't always get the thing you want.
I got to write that down. Tickled feet in the night. That's an idea. We are back. We have a bit of a throwback episode today, guys. We're actually going to review a television program. It seems like every summer, Netflix has a highly visible, exciting show, and this summer is no different. We've got Glow, which is based on actually, it's a fictionalized account of the Glow Wrestling League, the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. And they got a show all about it, so we're going to be talking about that and actually giving it a Scope score live.
Amazing.
In studio.
Two of us have completed the series. One has not.
That we call that full disclosure in the business.
Yeah.
We're not lying about what we're doing.
It's true.
But I figured, no, since we're talking some summer pop culture stuff, let's do a look back at what we have enjoyed so far in the summer pop culture world. Quick question to you guys.
Yes.
What's your favorite movie you've seen so far?
Ooh. Okay, well, yeah.
I got a list of three.
Okay.
That we've seen. Jared and I have seen The Big Sick. We've seen Wonder Woman, Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Okay.
Adam?
We also we saw a couple others that are not worth mentioning.
Okay, name them.
King Arthur. Terrible.
That's why I said best summer movie.
Okay.
King Arthur was garbage.
Yeah.
What else did we see?
That might be the one.
Adam, what else have you seen? Give me your list.
Man, that might be it. I feel like there's one other movie.
You saw
movie.
Baby Driver.
Yes, I saw Baby Driver. That's going to be my pick.
Okay.
I was trying to think of something else that wouldn't be my pick, but I can't think of it. So,
So you love Baby Driver.
Baby Driver was amazing.
Yeah.
I think that, yes, everyone should go see that. If you liked Scott Pilgrim, it's better than that, but it takes a lot of similar like music cues from
okay.
it.
Okay.
I liked Scott Pilgrim.
I loved it. I know a lot of people didn't. I don't know why.
I didn't love it as much as everybody else did, but I thought it was a very creative movie.
Yeah.
Jared, so we've got Baby Driver in here. You've heard my list of stuff that we've seen together. I think we have to say Big Sick is the best of the bunch,
I would agree, yeah.
I mean,
we gave it 4 stars.
Yeah. Big Sick maybe had flaws, but those flaws were a part of the film. I mean, it was an imperfect film with an imperfect story, but done so well. Wonder Woman was a solid superhero movie, very enjoyable, but it had some flaws. And Guardians of the Galaxy was also very good with some flaws.
Sure.
So,
of the two big superhero films, which one do you like the best?
Huh. That's a tough one. That's a very tough call.
Tough but fair?
Tough but fair. I think as a movie of feeling and comedy, Guardians of the Galaxy surpasses Wonder Woman. I enjoyed that aspect. But Wonder Woman had such a strong central character and a very exciting and on-point representation of Wonder Woman that I really liked what she brought to the table. And the fact that it was different. I mean, to have a female lead with a boyfriend character in distress, which not really. I mean, they were as equal as they could be, given one was an Amazon super princess and another guy was just a normal guy, right?
I thought you meant different in that it was a DC movie that wasn't just depressing for 2 hours.
Yeah, well, the thing about Wonder Woman 2 is that it has...
Wait, we're talking about the sequel already?
Wonder Woman as well is that it has that depressing DC vibe in so much of the film.
Mm-hmm.
But the character and the acting overcomes that. And the fact that, you know, when they're on her island... It's beautiful and very visual and not gray and drab.
You see the sun a few times.
Yeah, it's like amazing. Like, oh, wow, there actually is regular red in this continuity.
Sure.
There's regular blue in this continuity. So I don't know. I think it was great, but I probably would slightly lean towards Guardians of the Galaxy. Jared, your take.
I would agree. Yeah, I think you said it.
Perfect.
I agree with you. And since I have no opinions of my own, and I only mimic you, then I have to go with it.
There we go.
I will say, when we saw Wonder Woman, it was the loudest movie I've ever seen in my life. We saw it. You guys know Rosedale.
Mm-hmm.
They redid a few of the theaters. Sure. In the new, it's already new, but they made them
newer.
Recliner seats and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Dolby Atmos theater. It's too loud. Like, I know I feel old saying that. There are parts in that movie, I'm sure my hearing is probably deteriorated just from that movie. It's
crippling your eardrums.
Yeah. It was bad.
Yeah, we don't like that.
I forgot to, I was just looking back at our reviews. We also saw Alien Covenant.
Yeah, which was, It was. That one disappeared quickly. So we talked about movies. Let's quickly look at summer TV shows. I'm going to name a show. You guys say yay or nay.
Okay.
We'll start with American Gods, just finished up.
Yay.
I don't know.
Very interesting show.
Very dense, very literary, but
visual, exciting. Give it a shot. Preacher just started. We're 2 episodes in.
Loving it so far.
Adam?
It's still on the middle of season 1.
Season 2 is much more closely related to the actual comic book.
Okay.
So it feels different, and it's very interesting. Let's do Silicon Valley. Just wrapped up. TJ Miller leaving the show in a bit of a huff. What'd you guys think of this
season? He explains it on his Nerdist interview. It was just more about... He actually cites Steven Spielberg as an influence on why he left.
There's more stuff that's come out, Jared.
Okay.
That seems
maybe
to...
Maybe he's painting a rosy picture.
That
seemed
to imply that he has issue with the lead actor of that show.
Okay.
And I think TJ Miller is coming across as a bit crazy, if you want to know the truth.
Well, he is a bit crazy.
Yeah. So
I mean, that's just part of his brand.
So let's talk about season 4. Jared, what did you think?
Meh.
I thought it was super disappointing.
Yeah. I didn't.
Like, I barely laughed this entire season.
I didn't think it was that funny. I didn't think the storyline was that great. And I really don't know how you save the character of Richard Hendricks at this point.
Yeah.
He has become so unlikable.
He's toxic. Yeah. I just
don't know what you do.
It's like How I Met Your Mother. Like, the worst character on the show is the lead character somehow.
Yeah.
I will say, revelation of Jared/Douglas as a
yes.
hilarious character.
Yes. Yeah.
that guy is on point. What's his name? What's the actor's real name?
Yep, him.
I just saw an interview with him. He was on Conan
Gabe.
The other day.
We'll say Gabe from The Office.
He's got that weird, you know, like Neanderthal brow, but his whole face is smooth.
We're talking about him, and I'm totally missing out of my chance to do this.
Thank you, Jared.
Fuck that, Jared.
Fear the Walking Dead, Jared. We are 3 or 4 episodes in.
Yeah.
What do you think of this season so far?
It's better.
Killing off main characters.
Yeah, it's. I'm not sad that Travis is gone. I hope he doesn't show up again, even though maybe he will. Maybe he won't. There was the one episode where Daniel comes back. Reuben Blades character.
I just started that episode, but yeah, I've heard it's all in
that
Spanish,
one is
right?
a great episode.
Yeah.
I haven't watched the one since then, and there'll be a new one tomorrow as we're recording this. So, but I think I'm enjoying it more than I have enjoyed the show in the past. But that doesn't mean it's great.
I mean, so the angle this season, Adam, is they've essentially bumped into a group of, like, what do they call that, apocalypse preppers or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I mean, it's sort of torn from real life, and it's an interesting angle that the regular Walking Dead show has not tackled. So good for them. We'll have to see how it progresses, because of course you've got these doomsday preppers and you've got crazy kids involved in there, and it's like, why can't they just bump into a situation where you have fairly normal people that are just struggling to survive? You don't have to have crazy infecting it. I think that would be an interesting angle.
I think given the timeline of the show too, it feels like the crazy onset happened a bit fast.
Yeah.
But I mean, it makes sense with these apocalypse preppers, at least, that they've been planning for this.
Yeah.
So maybe it's on course. If you're a fan of the show Deadwood, I think you might enjoy this season, because there are a couple of actors who were on that show who are now back together again.
Interesting.
So, not they're just on the same show. They're not back together. Whatever.
Any other shows you guys you're watching that you have watched that you want to talk about?
I'm Dying Up Here is really good.
Okay.
It's a hour-long drama on Showtime about stand-up comedy in the late 70s, early 80s. It like takes from real life, but there's none of the actual characters are real. They're probably based on some real people, but I like that a lot.
Jared, anything for you?
I think the big highlight for me right now is the one we're going to talk about in the next segment.
Okay, so
honestly,
we'll get to that. The only other show I want to get to that I was very late into the party on this one was Catastrophe.
Oh, sure.
I burned through all three seasons of that. One of my favorite shows in a long, long time. You know, delightfully British, short, to the point.
Yeah. Six-episode seasons.
Incredibly fun to watch, and I would argue you could give just about any character on that show an Emmy nomination, because I think they're all that good, especially the two leads. There we go.
Great show.
Great show. But guess what, guys?
What?
Before we get to our super review of GLOW, I just wanted to ask Adam, song of the summer. Everybody talks about that. It's probably got to be a Justin Bieber song.
Mm.
Well, what song are you listening to now that you say, man, this is just going to define my 2017?
So you asked us to come up with this, and I immediately knew my pick, and then I looked it up, and it's actually from December of 2016.
Okay.
So I can still give you that,
because
I really like the song, but I do have a more recent song as well.
Okay, and I actually think that your song of the summer is my song of the summer that you're going to say.
My second one.
Yes.
My more recent one. So I won't say that one then. Okay, so my pick of my December 2016 one is a song from Stony,
okay,
a rapper, and the song is called Congratulations, featuring Quavo.
Can you find this, Jared? Stony.
Stony EY.
S-T-O-N.
I really like this song. So I started listening or using the Vivo app on my Apple TV.
Sure.
Because I was like, oh, they still make music videos.
It's all the music
cool.
videos.
And this came up on like recommended for me. I don't know why. I like some rap music, not a ton.
How do you feel about the new Kendrick?
I love that's a great album.
Yeah.
The thing, I think the type that I like is the, what would you call like The Weeknd and Drake and this? Like,
I don't know.
It's like not rap really. Well, I guess it is. Anyway.
There's like a slow techno groove vibe to that. I mean, it's
like it's called trap beat, Shane.
Thank you. Trap beat.
I don't know.
Trap beat. It's called trap beat.
So I listen to the song almost every day at work. Like one time. There's one other really good song on this album. Again, the album came out last year.
Yeah.
And then like a handful of like other songs I really like.
Fantastic. Well, Adam's secondary song of the summer is going to be my primary song of the summer. I've been hearing it actually for a couple of months on like Sirius XM U. But it's strange. My wife gets into the car the other day and this song comes up and she knows it. So clearly this song is being played locally more on Top 40. It's a crossover. Mm. It's going to be a crossover hit. It's by a band called Portugal the Man. And the song is Feel It Still. Al, friend of the show, our music correspondent, got me into Portugal the Man a long time ago. Their latest album, Woodstock, which is a 2017 release, much slicker produced. There's a popness to it, but I listened to this album the other day, and I thought
it's got hand claps, Adam.
I thought it was solid head to toe. A little Portugal the Man information. They did an entire album produced by Mike D from the Beastie Boys.
This feels a little bit like Fits in the Tantrums, too.
A little bit. But that album with Mike D, they canned it. They didn't like what they did, and they came back, did their own thing with this album, Woodstock, and this is the result. So, Feel It Still. I'm sure everybody knows this song by now. It's got 36 million listens on Spotify or whatever it is. It's
26.
It's a lot, Jared, for a song that came out in 2017. So there you go. Portugal the Man off the album, Woodstock.
Hook.
Right there.
Kind of a low-key hook.
There we go. I say give that album a listen. I like it. Guess what, guys? That's not all.
What about me? Do I get to say
one?
Oh,
I thought you said you didn't have a song.
No, I do have one.
Okay, do it.
It's not all. Jared's. This one dropped, I don't know, a few weeks, June 1st, it looks like. And my song of the summer, if I have to have a song of the summer, this is really the only song that's new that I could recommend.
He's
and that
so
is
disgusted by
it's,
this.
It's the new Foo Fighters single, Run.
Oh, there we go.
Let's just get to the part where it's cranking. Come on. There we go. So, yeah, they released this song on June 1st. They had a brand new video of them rocking out in an old folks' home. And it's all about, I don't know if you know what it's about. It's off their new album, Concrete and Gold, or Stolen, or something like that. That's coming out September.
Yeah,
I think
they're Foo Fighters are all into like making giant concerts.
Yes,
that's their thing. That's what Dave Grohl wants to do, ultimate concert. So he's got a big thing in California with a bunch of different bands, like I don't want to say a Bonnaroo type, but something like that, where it's a big event. He can do that now.
Sure. And he headlined, you know, Bonnaroo or whatever one time, and he was like, "Well, they got some of the money."
I want all the money.
They were just at Glastonbury, and we saw them live. They easily did 2.5-3 hours, no problem.
And you knew every song they played.
Yeah. So one of my favorite bands with another rockin' single. So my song of the summer, "Run."
Terrific, Jared. Good job. Well, guess what? We've got more summer talk, and that includes talking about the latest Netflix hit, guys. They're not just canceling shows. They're putting shows out there. We're talking about Glow. So let's take a quick break.
Isn't it problematic that they're canceling shows?
Oh, my God, you snowflake. We'll spend an entire show talking about that, too. Crybabying about shows being canceled. Get over it.
And uncanceled.
It's also a business, by the way.
It's a business. Adam, it's a business, so get off your high horse.
Anyway,
get close to that.
I won't watch those shows.
There we go. So 258 in high gear. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back right after these words.
Hey, folks. Do you like good podcasts? I know you do. You can support our podcast by hooking us up on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/thescopeshow, where you can pledge as little as $1 an episode, set a monthly cap, and cancel anytime. Patreon helps you support creators directly, and your support means we can continue to make this show for you. So visit patreon.com/thescopeshow for more information.
We are back with episode 258 of The Scope. It is Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Getting better at that Patreon read.
You're doing very well. I hope things do up my game in this next segment. It's a legitimate Jared Scope review. You remember the days when we would do a review in every damn show? On top of a game show, on top of news.
Hold on.
We were stupid.
Did you say legitimate Jared? Are there illegitimate Jareds?
Oh, there's a lot. There's a lot. There's one. There's a Kushner. There's a Fogel. They're not legitimate Jareds.
Okay. He's the only real Jared we need to worry about.
That's okay. Right.
And if for fake Jareds, of course, we've got Jared from Silicon Valley. That's the only Jared we care about.
And he literally is a fake Jared within a fake Jared.
It's very hard to wrap your head around. We're talking about...
Thank you, Jared.
Thank you. We're talking about Netflix's breakout hit, right? I mean, this is a hit. People are talking about it. It's caught... The buzz wave of America. We're talking about Glow.
Buzz wave.
Write that down.
Catch the buzz wave, folks.
Buzz wave.
This is how we're marketing. This is like a soda commercial.
Jared watched all of Glow.
I did.
Before me. And
I did.
He was about halfway through. He said, Shane, you got to watch this show.
In about a 36-hour span, I took it down.
And it's a short show, Adam.
10 episodes.
30 minutes.
30 minutes, approximately. So what is it? It's a 10-episode Netflix show created by Liz Flahive and Carly Mensch. It revolves around the fictionalization of the characters and gimmicks of the 1980s syndicated women's professional wrestling circuit, the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, or GLOW. Did you guys watch that? Because I didn't. I didn't really watch it.
Back then, I watched any sort of wrestling I could get my hands on, including I would turn on, I'd look at the TV guide, and TBS would have a show called Hogan's Heroes, which I assumed was a Hulk Hogan show.
I love me some Hogan's Heroes.
How do we do like 15 years of The Scope and we didn't know that?
thought it was...
I was 9. I don't know.
That's amazing. Because
it's like TBS had WCW, and then Hulk Hogan was on WWF,
so I was really confused.
But I was like, I got to watch this. It happened once, and then...
you realize that this hilarious comedy about World War II POW camps was not, in fact,
a
wrestling show?
You know how, like, you ever watch TBS? So, like, it's the five-minute thing, you know? Like, everything's always 5 minutes late. So I just thought that was wrong, right? I was like, oh, they messed up.
Yep.
So, this show's running long. Or when Braves games were in delay.
Yeah, it would screw everything.
So I was like, I'll just keep watching this for a while.
Eventually, I'll see some wrestling.
Nope.
That's a revelation, guys. I mean, talk about burying the lead. Let's stop the Glow and start talking about Hogan's Heroes and what that show actually would be. I mean, who would be one of his heroes? Andre the Giant, of course.
Well, yeah.
Of course.
Well, I think Hulk Hogan's hero is Hulk Hogan. It would mostly be a show about Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Especially in that era.
Well, let's talk about Glow a bit more. It's set in L.A. in 1985. Ruth Wilder, played by Alison Brie. She's a struggling actress, and you can tell because she's very theatrical, Jared.
Very.
She receives an invitation for an audition along with dozens of other women in a fledgling professional wrestling promotion called GLOW. She gets at odds with GLOW's director, Sam, played by who, Jared?
Mark Maron.
And he's good.
You know him from the WTF podcast.
He is a solid... He doesn't do a lot of acting, but man...
Good.
He's in the pocket on this one.
Did a little interview on Colbert to promote the show, and he was talking about how they relied on him for his cocaine use knowledge.
Yes.
Like, he was able to bring an authenticity to it because he lived through it.
He did it, yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. Sam doesn't like her because she's a bit of an overreactor in the ring. You'll see that as the show progresses. Further complicating matters is her best friend, played by Betty Gilpin. Her best friend's name is Debbie.
Looking at the IMDb page, I can confirm it as Betty Gilpin.
Thank you. She confronts Ruth after discovering her affair with her husband, and their fight immediately makes them the promotion's top stars. So look out, fireworks!
Husband played by Rich Sommer from...
that guy's familiar.
He was on Mad Men.
Okay, that's it.
Along with Alison Brie. Confusing.
Correct, that's right.
Very confusing. Jared, there are not a lot of clips of GLOW online, as in none, because Netflix doesn't have to do that. But there is a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Shall we play it?
We will. You just tell me when to stop, because it's not a short one.
Yeah. I mean, let's just get into
Let's go.
Yeah.
In this world, there are good guys and there are bad guys. And I will not be bullied into submission.
You're reading the man's part.
Oh, God.
Would you like to start over?
Yes, I would.
I will not be bullied into submission.
Sorry to interrupt. Your wife is online, too?
I'm interested in real parts.
Got $83 in my bank account, and I don't know if I can pay my gas bill.
Ruth, there's an audition.
The entire
They're
first episode.
They're looking for unconventional women, whatever that means.
Hello, ladies. I'm Sam Sylvia, and this is GLOW.
Sorry, what's GLOW?
Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
Titles.
Are we hiring actors to play wrestlers, or are we the wrestlers?
Go! Yes.
Woo! Christ. Fucking actresses. Okay, I want you to meet the star of GLOW, Debbie Egan.
Are you insane? Why is she here?
She's the alpha. And
you're halfway
the
through.
Submit.
Once
she
we get to a good music break, pot it down.
This is Sebastian.
There we go. So that is the first episode of GLOW, as Adam said. It does not. The trailer also introduces a lot of the other wrestlers, Jared, from the program. That they work together, they train together.
I'll never not laugh at how you say program.
They go through highs and lows, and eventually they're going to work their way towards possibly the first ever episode of GLOW. How's that for?
That's about right.
Okay, so we've powered through it. There will be spoilers. I wouldn't say aplenty, but there will be some spoilers. Jared, what did you think of this show?
I love this show. I didn't know what to think about it. I saw the... sort of the teaser cards on Netflix in advance of him. Like, what is this about? And it wasn't until I saw Mark Maron on Colbert, like in the week before it, the show came out, that I finally realized, oh, this is this. And this is a period piece about wrestling in the 80s. I think I might want to watch this.
Yes.
And then so I'm like, I didn't know why. It wasn't a priority for me initially. But I had some time on Friday, the day it came out, and I just started watching. And I just kept going and going and going. You know, you get into these binges, and it was a compelling enough show that I wanted to watch the whole thing to the end. So,
and you did.
I did.
Adam,
go ahead.
I say, Adam, you're four episodes in.
Yeah.
No take.
I like it a lot. I was always going to watch it because of my aforementioned love of
anything wrestling.
I guess so.
Right. And Alison Brie.
And Alison Brie. Yeah. I really, really like Alison Brie a lot. They do a really interesting job of making her unattractive.
Yeah.
It's like there's like a lighting and makeup thing that, especially in the first couple episodes when she's just Ruth, that it's like... Anyway, yeah.
They address that later because there's a line where, you know, the producer of the show comes in eventually. He's like this rich, spoiled kid who's sort of like, I think he's like a fictionalized version of the Bumblebee Tuna kid because he's into like canned goods. I mean, that's how they make their money. I think that's where it's come from.
Yeah.
And so they've got Alison Brie there as Ruth. And I look at Carrie as we're watching. I said, I just don't know how they can play play this off as her being unattractive. And the producer literally the next second goes, how am I supposed to look at her and think she's not pretty? I mean, essentially, that's what he said. I mean, it's just,
right.
She's such a fetching, yeah. strong presence in this show. But they still do make her look unattractive.
Well, yeah. part of it
from
is
like the inside, like she's hard to deal with.
Yeah,
so.
And part of it is wardrobe, too, is you're yeah. wearing those unattractive
80s,
yeah. crumpy 80s stuff.
And
so.
Then she's not even wearing like the hot stuff that some of the other characters yeah. are wearing. She's just wearing frumpy, whatever. High-waisted jeans and baggy shirts and whatever, you know.
Yeah.
They do. So as they start developing the characters, I really like how they reference real wrestling. Like Vince McMahon has, you know, talked about like, we're not creating racist characters. We're whole, you know, we're either parodying
yeah.
or whatever. And it's like, there's a question from one of the black wrestlers where she's like, well, are the people watching going to know that? And it's like, yeah. I don't think so. I don't think that the sensibilities of the average wrestling fan are necessarily like, oh, what interesting social commentary.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, right. Current modern day, we've got like what the crazy liberal or something that is
the liberal progressive.
Yeah. That's firing people up. So, I mean, it's yeah. I mean, you're
people are a little more astute now, though.
Yeah,
than they are. I mean, this is very much, I said this to you online, this is very much a period show, but it's also through a modern lens. So some of our current critiques and sensibilities are definitely at play in this show.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I think maybe even the people that are, you know, the characters in there, they are more aware of that.
Yes.
That modern day sensibility than yes. they would have been in 1985.
They're way more woke.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an interesting show because there is a couple of different lenses going on. So you've got that. You've got the modern day sensibility that Jared talked about. But then you've got this 80s vibe at play. And if you draw a direct comparison to last year's big summer breakout, Stranger Things, mm-hmm. which goes to very, very extended extremes to try to make things authentic, but then maybe just give you a filter of like 80s movies and TV.
Yeah.
Whereas GLOW is definitely, we're just going to, you know, do almost like fictionalized 80s stuff. They play on that stereotype a little bit more. It's not meant.
Yeah, it's kind of a caricature. But
yeah, it's not.
Is that robot not real?
Yeah, I mean you've got like that. You've got the robot which is directly ripped out of a number of 80s sitcoms.
I want my drug robot so bad.
You've got the music.
There's drugs in this robot.
The music, which is really great in this, but it's from all over the 80s. It's not just 1985.
Sure.
I mean, they even have a song that may have been from 1990. They have a Roxette song in there. So they play fast and loose with it, but it's done in such a caring way that it doesn't feel completely like the creators don't know what they're talking about on it.
They're not necessarily lampooning the era. I mean, they're definitely taking sort of a broad strokes caricature view of it, but there's definitely a passion for the era.
Yeah. It's kind of like I wouldn't say it's to the extreme of the Goldbergs, which if you know that show, it takes place in the 80s, but one episode 1 week might be about Milli Vanilli, and then the next episode might be about, I don't know, Indiana Jones from 1981. You know, they're all over the place, and they just like, oh, it's 80s, and it's all going to be mixed together,
sure.
and we're going to deal with it. The GLOW is a little bit less of that crazy. I mean, they try to keep it a bit more focused in that center of the mm-hmm. decade, but yeah, like you said, it's a loving embrace rather than just a crazy. We don't know what we're talking about, so let's just throw anything in there.
Yeah.
Acting, Alison Brie, we love her in Community. You loved her in Mad Men.
Mm-hmm.
She's really good in this, right?
Yeah, I imagine it's hard for an actor to do like the like intentionally bad acting,
yes.
acting thing
yeah,
that
yeah.
she has to do. And yeah, it's she is an annoying character, and you know, intentionally so. Right?
They've made her do some bad things, yeah. and her going through the entire season trying to make up for this infidelity that she had and the ultimate break of trust with her friend it's actually done pretty well, Jared.
And I agree.
And the thing about this show,
it's not tied up in a nice tidy bow either.
No, I mean you're definitely set up for season two. You know, this is a funny show, but I would say that comedy is not the main focus of this. I mean,
right.
it is just the story of these people. Sometimes there are funny things. A lot of times there are really dramatic things that happen, sure. and they're all handled very well in a unified way. Orange is the New Black, Liz and Carly, they were connected. I don't know if they created the show, but there's definitely synergy between those two shows.
Yeah, the creator of Orange is the New Black, I think, is a producer on this show as well. What's her name? Jenji Cohen or something?
It's interesting. Like, the shows really have nothing in common, but it is interesting to the first I think it's the first episode of Orange is the New Black where Donna from that seven, you see her boobs.
Yeah.
And then in the first episode of the show, you see Alison Breeze also. It's like, is it you guys are just trying to get that out of the way?
Yeah. Like, so
maybe.
I was going to ask you guys that question. The nudity in this show, you don't need it. You don't need it, but so why is it there? Because I don't really understand why it's there.
And it's not really done in a gratuitous way, though. It's just sort of natural and in the moment.
Yeah.
And it's so the bulk of this cast is women, and these mm-hmm. women spend a lot of time around each other just being women. And so sometimes this stuff just happens in the course of them being women together in the same space. So it feels natural. Yeah. Doesn't feel like it's exploitative or anything like that. So. I don't know. I you could not do it at all, and you wouldn't even know that it wasn't happening. So, it's an interesting choice.
Yeah, it's like I don't understand it. I couldn't give a reason why it's there or why it isn't. But yeah. It was something that I would ask you about. So, the question that I posed to Jared last week was this: if you compare this show to Stranger Things, which was 2016's big show, which is the better program? Both are in the 80s. They're both period pieces. They're both buzzworthy right now. But which one is the more successful show?
Like just as a personal preference?
Personal choice.
I mean, Stranger Things is about a group of boys having adventures in the 80s. So
correct.
It's like, I think it's the one that I would always relate to more. Even though I would never say I was a fan of GLOW. It was like I watched it begrudgingly because boy wrestling isn't on,
I guess, right
sure.
now.
I still had a fondness for it, I guess. But any coming-of-age story is always going to have it's always in an easier spot for me.
Sure.
And so, it's like weird sci-fi. Like, that's a show that just hits, like, so many boxes for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know how I could ever say... a similar 80s show is going to be better than it.
Jared?
This was a weird one for me because I really enjoyed Stranger Things. However, it doesn't resonate with me as much as like an Adam did because it's sort of the boxes that ticks are also boxes that happen to be in my black hole of entertainment from the early 80s that I just didn't get to participate in.
Sure.
So it's maybe not as nostalgic for me for as good as it is. I really enjoy GLOW. I think it's just such a fun show. I enjoy the fact that the cast is diverse and, there's lots of body types and nobody is treated in a shameful fashion, even people who identify as being a wolf. I mean, they're just treated as like different, but completely normal and accepted. And it's great. And I like the positivity of it.
She-Wolf.
Yeah. Sheila the She-Wolf.
She-Wolf.
Yeah.
So Jared's picking
GLOW. I'm going to go with GLOW just by a hair.
Okay. So here's the thing. As a total package, I think Stranger Things is a better show. What GLOW outdoes Stranger Things on is the richness of character and the depth of which you get to know some of these people and the complexity. Stranger Things is, there's a lot going on and you can make fun of Winona Ryder. And
I was
going to
say, Stranger Things has way better Winona Ryder memes
that come
out of it.
But I think, it's just a character study. I would be on GLOW side every single time. But as a totality of a show, I've got to give it to Stranger Things.
Stranger Things is definitely more like story and plot focused.
Yeah.
And GLOW is more character focused.
Yes.
So.
But both exist to live in a world that we live in as well.
Wait,
so.
Are they also in the same universe?
Wouldn't that be
they
something?
They are, just not at the same time.
The Netflix universe.
Yes. The net. There we go.
Oh,
now we're talking.
Are all those shows connected? Interesting.
Well, we'll think about if they are connected while we give this show, GLOW, a scope score. Hit it, Tony.
The scope score is 3.5 stars.
Thank you, Tony. It's nice to have you back on the show.
3.5 stars. That's
we
pretty good.
We flew him in all the way from Florida to do that.
He was waiting this whole time.
And he's gone.
Yeah.
See you, Tony. He's going up the stairs right now. So 3.5 stars, GLOW on Netflix.
It goes down easy, folks. It's 10 episodes, half an hour each. You can do it in a day, no problem
easy,
at all.
Easy, easy, easy.
Do it.
Check it out. So, Jared, are we taking a break or are we going right into Coming Soon?
We'll take a quick break.
Okay, we'll take a quick break on this episode of The Scope, then we'll be back with Coming Soon.
There's more of The Scope dead ahead.
Under the Scope. A very quick break. We're back with Under the Scope and coming soon.
Wow, did you just blow all of your energy on the first one?
I can only do it twice.
Try it again. One more time.
Coming soon. On video, Hogan's Heroes, the Adam Edition.
You used to have to get that as, there used to be like a Time Life collection or something you could order of Hogan's Heroes and just get this like 40 pounds of VHS tapes.
I want to do a shout out to Luke Skeet. Luke, you've done scope drawings before. This might be your chance to draw the real Hogan's Heroes.
I like it. Luke, just don't do it on the 101.
Hogan's Heroes, Adam style. Okay, what else, Adam? Go ahead.
It's just called the WWE Network now.
Okay.
You just turn that on.
WWE. Yeah, but we want to, in the era, 85, 86,
that's fair.
Hogan's Heroes.
Yeah, I'm on Hogan's Heroes.
I would say most of the things on the WWE
Where's
Network
Elizabeth?
Are from the 80s because it was the best time for wrestling. All right. Let's see. Coming soon, we've got music from Daily, Dead, Edgy.
What is it? Is he having a stroke?
I don't know.
Daily, Edgy.
Do you think that's Edgy or Ed Guy?
I think it's Ed Guy.
I think it's Edgy.
Are you just like deciding to randomly drop consonants or what's going on here?
Most bands now, they're naming themselves like Web 2.0.
Okay, so they're dropping vowels.
Yeah.
Flavor.
French Montana.
Oh. Is that a coffee flavor?
I think so. I love it. It's got just a hint of paprika.
I think it's actually the area of Montana.
Taste the gravel.
They've seceded from America and they're part of French Canada now.
Nice. Well, that's one way to get health care.
In this moment, Japanese breakfast.
What are you doing over there? This is like you're playing tricks on us right now.
I think this is he's pitching a YouTube channel.
Kirsten.
Word association with Adam.
We're old. We don't know these artists.
Nobody knows these artists. Give me a break.
Meg Mac. Muramasa.
Remember that Super Nintendo game, Meg Mac X?
Meg Mac X.
Actually, Muramasa. I watched a Vox video about him just the other day.
The Vamps.
Vamps has a song playing right now on Alternative Nation. So,
Punk Goes Pop Volume 7 by various artists.
I love various artists.
Movies. Hey,
yes.
Do you think you could start a band called Various Artists? Like, is that a trademarked thing, or could you start?
Yeah, you could do that.
Okay. I just think you're asking for trouble when it comes to searching on Spotify.
Let's say you did that.
You're going to get buried.
You're too clever.
Very poor SEO.
And then you name your first album self-titled debut release.
Somebody's had to have done that already.
Sure. I mean, my comedy band, Possible Oscar, which hasn't done anything in a number of years, but our
did you do air quotes in comedy, by the way?
I named the initial 5-song EP Greatest Hits. It can be done.
What about Sophomore Release?
It can be done.
What if you named your second album Sophomore Release?
I like it.
What if you're just like Weezer and did everything self-titled?
Mm. And then played at casinos in the general metro area.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
The White Flight Outer Ring Suburbs.
That's where the core is, their fan base.
Movies. We've got one release to talk about here, Wish Upon.
Who's in that?
I don't know. You tell me.
Jared, who's in Wish Upon?
The guy from Kimmy Schmidt, her boyfriend from seasons 1 and 2.
Wish?
I mean, I think he's not the lead. But
by the way, season 4 coming. I'm so excited. Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Shane, you got to watch that show. Chapon, what is this? This is, I don't know anything about this.
It's Sherilyn Ryan Phillippe.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Jonathan Shannon gives his 17-year-old daughter an old music box that promises to grant its owner 7 wishes. Skeptical at first, Claire becomes seduced by its dark powers when her life suddenly starts to radically improve with each wish. Everything seems perfect until she realizes that every wish she makes causes the people who are closest to her to die in violent and elaborate ways.
How long did it take her to figure that out? Like,
is this based on like a Korean horror film or something?
I believe it may be. Yes.
See right there. Second picture. Second guy. That's
Ki Hong Lee.
Yeah, Kimmy Schmidt's boyfriend.
Hmm.
Home video.
We've got
Contemporary Color, The Fate of the Furious, The Fifth Element.
I actually just watched The Fate of the Furious last night.
What'd you think?
iTunes. It was stupid and silly, but still fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really enjoyed the verbal sparring between The Rock and Jason Statham when they were in prison. That's fun.
King Kong. That must be Skull Island. I don't know why it just says King Kong.
Kong? That's Skull Island's already out, isn't it?
Oh, is it? I don't know. The Lost City of Z, A Quiet Passion, Smokey and the Bandit, The Smurfs, The Lost Village, Spark, A Space Trail.
Sweet,
Tale.
I can finish my Smurfs collection.
Wait a minute. Wasn't Spark a Space Tale on last week's?
It's out every week.
We don't pay attention.
It's on every.
Yeah.
Species.
It got delayed.
And Their Finest. And finally, video games. We have an expansion for Final Fantasy XII, which is an MMO called The Zodiac Age.
Wow.
Coming for PS4.
Not bad. That's not it, though, Jared. There's one other.
There is. There's one more thing. Hit it or miss
it. Graceful. So graceful. Hit it or miss it. Done. Canceled.
Okay, you're up.
All right, so I'm picking up this week. I'm picking a hit, and this is a film, and it's coming to theaters. It is the third in the modern Apes series of films. We're looking at War for the Planet of the Apes. This time, war is finally happening. It's apes versus man for dominion over the Earth.
Starring
a monkey.
Woody Harrelson.
Woody Harrelson. What's his name?
James Franco. Caesar. Is he still in there?
No, he was
dead.
Andy Serkis.
You might
Andy
see a
Serkis.
Picture
there
of
you
him.
Go. Advance War is that this is very, very good. And I've enjoyed the last two, so I'm very excited for this one. War for the Planet of the
Apes.
These
have been... The
Jared
first
did a fist
one,
pump.
The first one was surprisingly good.
Yes. Nobody expected anything.
No, and then the second one was just as good.
Yeah.
And
I never saw the first one. I saw the second one and liked
the
it,
first
though.
One, I think the first one might be better just because expectations were like, James Franco and what is going on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why
it's
is this?
It's heartfelt.
So all there right. you go.
Thank you.
It's Jared. A hit.
Under the scope.
Keep this one under an hour. I like it.
We're flying, baby.
Sorry, no fresh voicemails from Luke in this block. If you have opinions on Glow, either the Netflix show or the original show in
or
the
Soul
80s.
Glow.
Yes.
Any sort of Glow.
Glow, yeah.
Or Glow from...
maybe you like
the Rhythm of the Night movie.
Maybe like a good
the Last Dragon.
Maybe you're a Photoshop user, like a good outer glow on your layer styles.
Who doesn't?
Just don't abuse it. Just be
and we're looking at you, Adam,
subtle.
When we say that.
Subtle.
Don't abuse it.
I only do fire text. Very good. You know that.
Make sure you write in at comments at thescopeshow.com or call our voicemail line at 612-21-SCOPE. That is 612-217-2673. Or reach out on social media. We are on Facebook and on Twitter. Those links are on our website at thescopeshow.com. Or maybe you're watching the show. You can like, comment, and subscribe below, as I like to say in the videos. Do that. YouTube.com/thescopeshow. That's that. That's a video version. Hopefully it comes out and you'll have seen this. Otherwise, I'm just making up stuff. If you want to support the show like our good friends Kevin and Michael do on Patreon, you could do so at patreon.com/thescopeshow. It is the service that allows you to support content creators directly. Pledge as little as a dollar an episode, set a monthly cap, or cancel any time. But we know you're not going to because you love to have this content in your ear holes on a semi-regular basis.
Yes.
Semi-regular. That doesn't mean all the time.
We got lives, too.
Yeah, it's summer, man. A summer regular. You can also support the show by shopping at Amazon. Go to thescopeshow.com/Amazon. Click on the link. Do your shopping, and a small bit of your purchase goes into our pocket. Doesn't cost you anything extra. Shane, back to you.
Fantastic read. Jared, Adam, we reviewed Glow today.
We did.
And we did a great job of it. But guess what? We got one more show coming up in our block, and that's next week. So why don't we just wrap this up right now? I'll say thanks to the listeners, thanks to you guys, and thanks to myself for being here. So until next time, America... For now.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying good night. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.